Okay, TH. The Psychonauts. You have this psychedelic artwork ever since humans, well, modern people discovered psychedelic, psychoactive substances in nature or synthesized. And sometimes those who are into this, exploring this field of psychedelic experiences, call themselves psychonauts. You get it, right? Like astronauts flying up out there into outer space, but you rather fly in there into inner space, looking as it appears that this world is just one reality among others, one dimension. And well, you know, we talk about hallucinations. I can imagine this picture illustrates a specific experience that someone had under the influence of some psychedelic agent, a psychoactive agent. Maybe not, but it could be possible if it's a good artist. Or it could be someone who just play around a little bit interesting graphical elements, but in any case, those who've been there in that space, outside looking in as some may see it, inside looking out as I may see it, they know how vivid and real that world could be that you find yourself in, or rather how unreal this world may actually be and can seem from that vantage point. As stepping out of this specific field of action for a little while and finding that there are others too. And which one is more or less real? That's another question. But that general, very powerful experience of transcendence in one form or other, something beyond this mundane slightly dull and sometimes outright nightmarish and sometimes nice experiences of life here on planet Earth in our splendid fleshy bodies. So, yeah. Well, the thing is that it's not really about a drug. This chemical, that chemical, it's about a state of consciousness that somehow or other, as it seems to be the case with basically everything, with our mind or consciousness, that it can be some or other influenced by what we call chemicals. In other words, the external world out there. And well, internal, external, down there in the molecules among the chemicals, is that external, internal, it gets mystical, the whole thing, right? So let's call it magic. Plain old good magic, what modern form, what new modern names to it. But it's inconceivable, nevertheless, as much now as it has ever been, no matter what they tell you. So here we are, and you can look back into ancient scriptures from thousands of years ago, written on palm leaf with Sanskrit words, telling us about this art of yoga, how to use trance states, which is really, I guess, what it's about in modern language. And then how we can travel, and that is still what indigenous people, even the Samis here I spoke to in Sweden, say, that they're medicine men or shamans or mystics, whatever you call in different, call it in different countries and cultures, did just that, using drums or whatever rituals. Going into trance and temporarily turning away, leaving their bodies as it may seem, or is that as it may seem, just turning another direction for a while, not looking out through these physical senses, but elsewhere, that they can, could at least visit other worlds and step out of this one and see it from the outside. So if you find a similarity between that and your psychedelic experiences, or those that you hear people having had, then that is not coincidental. Because even among in those ancient scriptures, in that knowledge there, which is really the treasure of India that is gradually being discovered, there incredible knowledge about these things, and elsewhere too. That in that knowledge, these methods of exploration, of connection, you know, it's like an art, connecting to other worlds, art. It's pretty much what it's about, or to a large extent, because oh no, this is becoming cosmos, Vedic planetarium stuff. Because the ascent through the cosmos from primitive stages of consciousness of I, me, mine to an enlightened stage, a full self-realization and God-realization and everything realization, that is like an ascent, which in India is likened to the ascent of Mount Meru, which you find the Pandavas in the end they're doing, climbing that Meru mountain. And that there are different ways, different techniques to be applied, but that those, this is stated there, I heard in these old scriptures, that there's a warning that you can do it by using these psychoactive agents found in nature. Whether directly or synthesizing their essence, whatever. But it's risky, it's dangerous. One should not do that without having a qualified guide and teacher. And now, of course, this, I guess this has become popular now. People, they take tourist trips to South America doing their ayahuasca journeys, and I've been reading, which I suspected would be just like everything else, that of course some of the locals do a good business on this, dressing up as qualified shamans, whatever. I mean, I probably would if I, you know, live poor or whatever in these countries. So you never know. I'm not saying they are like that. I'm not sure, but I would definitely expect that there are some very serious and knowledgeable and able ones too. And those who are not, and who know that they are not, they should just stop cheating, because these kind of things are not nice ways of cheating for getting a little money. We're talking with pretty powerful things going on here that can change the lives of people immensely, so to the good or to the bad. Some, as we clearly saw from the kamikaze trippers of the hippie generation, you can trash your mind pretty good. Basically, in some drug-induced psychosis that may even last. That's how it seems. So, careful, kids. Really careful. Some might tell you, oh, it's just a pill that gives you some far-out hallucinations for a while. Nothing is real. But it can be very real to you once you are there. So I can just talk for myself. When I grew up, I stayed away from those. I just was not afraid of them, but afraid of my mind. So if you are offered some LSD, some acid, some mescaline, some mushroom, or some trifle, I guess they are microdosing on those, but anyway, I don't know. Be careful. And I realized that in India, such herbs, such agents, including cannabis, are not even called drugs. They're called sacraments, and they are used traditionally, correct me if I'm wrong, but I heard this from an Indian gentleman, that they are used traditionally for sacred purposes, you know, meditations, different yajna or as part of yoga to connect with higher realities under able guidance like that. And with able guidance, I could say, and this is just my theory or experience to some extent, that the most important thing there is to have that stable ground, at least as a basic knowledge under one's feet, so to speak, because if one is existentially kind of lost or unfounded and just finding oneself floating around in an unknown, existence with some yeah, some nihilistic society upholding it. Then you may find yourself scattered in all directions because you can only make so much chaos around or inside a person or in a person's world and life that they don't fall apart. So therefore you find there, and you can actually look at, you study the cosmologies of the ancient people, those shamanistic and yogistic and whatever mystic people, cultures, their entire world view, their image of the cosmos is about balance, about center, being centered and having that rock solid mountain foundation there. They have a symbol that is, that really at least shows us that they saw some kind of balance. And also you find macro microcosmic connections. They're on different levels, and it's quite amazing. So I'm saying this now because it's kind of my conviction that... One second. That before you, if you feel, first of all, don't feel tempted or to just try this, to check it out as you would with some other, well, there are many drugs that are better. Be left without being checked out, including alcohol. We don't need that stuff. Because all that we try to enhance with these drugs are there inside of us anyway. We just need to find it. So basically, that maybe that's the difference with these kind of psychoactive substances that they rather in India tend to see as sacraments, as part of a kind of yoga or spiritual elevation. That they are treated that way because they are actually doing that. And one is not supposed to, I heard also, that's also the rule, I would say. I think I read it somewhere, not sure. But anyway, that these are used with discretion in that case. Maybe once in life, just to kind of open the window and give us a glimpse at what's out there, outside. But the thing is that we may then become so bewildered and maybe even want to take that step out and close the door and, hey, it's much better here. But then, you know, I know people who have been just taking LSD regularly every day basically for a long time, and then you can only expect one thing is that you shift out of this world and appear, well, maybe you are simply as lost as you appear, but in any case you're not really here very much anymore. And if that's not what you want, if you want to be here clear and whole, then again, a quick glimpse may be an important eye-opener, especially for people who are grown up or growing up in a culture such as this very mechanistic, impersonal culture of these modern Western countries. I mean, they can turn people a bit. I don't know if Asperger's syndrome is something that can be mixed in here, but some kind of tech, math-oriented, centered mentality. Anyway, so I'm just going now. I will probably cut away most of this, but it's still here, and I'm just talking, having a nice afternoon, Sunday, and having ample time. So I don't think much about time right now. But this topic interests me a bit. And I think there is need for very proper guidance, really, rather than just the question, should we allow or criminalize this or that herb or chemical, which it's ridiculous, really. But then if you, I understand the problem also, because if you just let go of it and make it all legal, what's going to happen? Well, considering the enormous amounts of drugs that are today, I mean, criminalized drugs that will lock you up for a long time if you're caught with them, potentially. It's still going on at massive scale. I mean, just look at these documentaries or series about the drug traffic between South America and North America, and it's just like staggering. So, to me, it seems like those who want to somehow or other take drugs today are already doing it. And those who don't do it pretty much because they don't want to do it, because they know better. And the greatest drug problem, I would say, if I should talk about that now, this is just my opinion. Well, they say the biggest gateway drug is alcohol, and I agree with that. It's so such hypocrisy and so absurd. On one hand, punish people heavily, sometimes tearing their lives apart, putting them in jail where they just get destroyed, and they're actually even producing criminals out of people because of possessing a little bit of powder or some leaves in their pocket. While on the other side, on the other hand, glorifying the consumption of ethanol, which is poisonous and addictive and bad for your health. I mean, glorify to the utmost extent, as being something you simply do if you are a cool and real and acceptable person when you're at a party or whatever. I mean, we all know that extreme social pressure. And once you take that drink, and become grown up, and daddy slaps you on the back, say, "Oh, my son is an adult today," that initiation ritual, then what happens? We all know what happens. You continue drinking that, you become part of gangs where they drink that together, hanging out at the pub or club or whatever, restaurant. And there you go, and you hardly even notice it. Oops, took a couple of beers last night. Oops, took this, that. And when you do, you lose something very important. Your good sense. And we all know it so well that it's much easier. How do you say? It's more likely that a little pill or some kind of smoke or some kind of this or that may slip into you when you are in that inebriated and inebriated state. So it's important to, and that's why I'm saying that herbs and substances like that are very powerful. And we can't just say, okay, fine, just use as much as you like. We should, at the same time as removing this stupid, hypocritical criminalization of one and glorification of the other, in that case, just criminalize alcohol also. But make a choice there. But in any case, because people will go on doing whatever they want to do anyway, okay? We have to educate, not by just saying, oh, this is illegal and it's, the police will come if you do, just don't even think about it. To actually teaching kids and adults as well, what each one of these substances do. Because the thing is, each one of them has a medical use too. In other words, you can use everything right or wrong, which of course justifies a well-developed education for our youth about these topics. Herbology. I mean, you have it there. India, China, they have their TCM and Ayurveda and other cultures as well, with an extremely highly developed understanding of each, well, basically substance in nature that has been mapped so carefully through thousands of years. And then how to use them, when to use them, and when not to use them. When you think about it, such a topic in school would be as important, if not more, than economy or whatever, chemistry, or should be included in biology. Yeah, that's a good idea. In my grand master plan for the whole earth. But anyway, and that then also includes, as we started off here, saying and warning that this, although these psychoactive substances are different, than others, uppers and downers and this and that, they are very powerful and especially there, some good knowledge and guidance is important.